Young with two, lets it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young, Swaggy T, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to talk a lot of basketball on the show today. We talked a lot of football, obviously, yesterday, so we can flip it. Let's talk NBA basketball for this segment. We're going to bring in Jameson Welsh, great friend of the show from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. And, of course, we're going to start by talking about the Utah Jazz, who knocked off the defending champs last night. Jameson, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Not a problem, Jordan. Thanks for having me as always, man. Definitely appreciate it.
Jameson, you and I were talking off of the cuff, and I don't know what it is, but the Utah Jazz seem to have a lot of success at home against LeBron James squads. It's actually quite weird, isn't it?
It's very weird. I don't know if it's something about Utah. I don't know if it's the cold weather. I don't know if there's nothing to do outside. I don't know. It's a very weird situation. Like, it's an extremely weird situation. So with that being said, kudos to the Jazz for playing hard and playing their game. And obviously the Jazz are a lot better team than they've been in the last several years. So my thinking is you got to give credit to the coaching staff and the guys stepping up. And, of course, Gordon Hayward, who's played very well this year. He should be an all-star. I think you can argue he should be an all-star over several other guys out west. I don't know if he's going to get it, but he should be. So you have to give them credit. But also, it's a tough when you're on the West. When you're an East Coast team on that West Coast trip, long West Coast trip, it's easy to lose focus, drop a game here and there. It does happen. There's no reason to panic or anything like that. But it does happen frequently. These things do happen from time to time. But again, you got to credit the Jazz. They've been really good, especially at home, especially defensively. They do create problems. The one thing that playing against LeBron, if you have a rim protector, if you have a guy that can deter shots at the rim where he can't just be a freight train, you have a guy that can block some shots and make things difficult, you got a shot.
Yeah, the Jazz right now holding their opponents under 95 points per game. And I thought, okay, Cleveland coming into town, this is a real test for this defense. And they did it again. They hold Cleveland to 92 points. A key stat in last night's game, the Cavaliers shoot 36% from the field. They only hit 29% of their shots from downtown. I know it's easier said than done, but Jameson, that's the recipe to beat Cleveland. If you can hold them anywhere from 30 to 35% from the three-point line, your chances of beating Cleveland are very good.
Well, here's the thing. The Cavs are such a drive and kick team, very similar to Golden State. Their shooters are kind of similar if you think about it. Of course, Golden State has Steph Curry and Clay, who are two of the best shooters ever. But, they have similar systems, similar styles in how they operate and how they, get their points. If you can run the Cavs guys off the three-point line and if you can contest without fouling, you got a shot because they don't do a whole lot else offensively. They're an ISO-heavy team, and they're an ISO and kick team. So it's not like they're running any great offense. It's pretty simple, to be honest with you. Their offense is pretty simple. It's just difficult to stop because their guys that are penetrating draw two or three guys and usually leave open shots. So if you can contest the threes without fouling, and if you can contest things in the paint, you definitely have a shot. And that's what made Golden State so good over the last year and a half, or almost 2 years before Bogut got hurt in the finals last year, is that they were able to get out on those threes and also contest everything at the hoop. And that's why Golden State's kind of struggling defensively now because they don't have that guy in the paint. So that's the reason why. So the Jazz do have a recipe for that. And also the Jazz have the pieces to defend those threes as well. So we'll definitely see going forward how that's going to be because the Jazz may need that similar type of defense versus Houston in a potential first-round matchup.
Jameson, you and I have talked about the Jazz over the last little while, over the last few years, and it seems to me that they have been more entertaining on a possibility rather than a product that you would want to pay to go see. You know what I'm saying? Like, people that would watch Utah Jazz basketball would see them as a possibility. Okay, we're building, trust the process. I think we've gotten through that particular stint with this franchise, and I think they're finally arriving. This is a top five team of the Western Conference. I thought at the beginning of the year that they would win 50 games. The one thing that they have in their favor when they are healthy is their versatility. They have all the length, they have size, they have athleticism, they have everything that you would want in the modern NBA, and a lot of that has to do with building through the draft and selecting the quote-unquote best player available. One of the guys that fits that mold is Trey Lyles. He's been very good for the Jazz, and it seems like when Lyles is on, this is a very tough team to beat.
Well, here's the thing. When Lyles is the future at that four spot. We've been talking about this for a while now, but, you know, Trey Lyles is the future with his versatility, with his game. It complements Rudy Gobert's game a lot. And also, you can get very creative on both ends of the court. Yes, I agree with you 100%. If you're a fully healthy team and he's coming off your bench, you have a really good shot of advancing in the playoffs. You have actually a good shot of getting to the second round. Now, after that, it's a different story. The Jazz, when healthy, of course, that's a big asterisk, but when healthy, the Jazz are an upper echelon team in this league. They're probably a top 6 or 7 team in this league right now. You can make an argument they might be the 5th best team after you break everything down. They're that good. I mean, after Cleveland, I think they would be the 2nd best team in the East, as crazy as that sounds. So, you know, they have a lot of pieces. Again, they're still young, though. And when it comes to, I want to see how this team plays in March and April when the games mean something. And, well, they always mean something, but when they mean something in the playoff picture, when a loss can drop you 4-6, potentially, I want to see how they go through that. And, of course, I do want to see them in the playoffs as well. But right now, the Jazz have a good thing going. They really do. They just got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. The injury bug has not been kind to them over the last couple of years, especially this year. You know, concussions and, you know, all kind of crazy type of injuries. If they can stay healthy, they got a shot to get to the second round.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree. This is a fun team to watch. Again, our guest right now is Jameson Walsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, I want to talk about potential trade targets. I mean, obviously, the Cavaliers just pulled a deal. They brought in Kyle Korver. The Atlanta Hawks have said that they are going to pull Paul Millsap off of the trade block due to some of their recent success, I would assume. There was a rumor that was shot down by a Miami Heat spokesman saying that they have not made Hassan Whiteside available on the trade market. Typically, when you have to have somebody come out and say he's no longer available, there has been some talk at some point in time. That's why it's getting leaked. Something has been said, or there has been some talk. Do you honestly believe that the Heat, who are one of the worst teams in the NBA, would consider moving Hassan Whiteside if the right deal came along?
Of course. You have, remember, the Heat don't have a whole lot of draft picks going forward the next several years, so you got to figure out how to make this work. If you're one of the worst teams in the East, you know, with the teams they got down there at the bottom of that barrel, if you're one of the worst teams in that conference and things aren't looking brighter and the guy you signed for 4 years, $96 million, isn't getting you a whole lot of wins, isn't bringing people in the seats, then you got to consider any and everything. First and foremost, I would move Goran Dragic first. I would move him, get his contract off the books. They're in a unique situation where Bosch's contract will probably come off soon due to health issues, and insurance will take care of that, and it'll come off the cap. So if they can move Dragic's contract, and if they can, you know, the boss situation, and they can find a way to move Whiteside to where they have a lot of cap room and just a bunch of young players and some picks, you got a shot. But at the same time, Pat Riley's getting kind of old, and I don't know what he's trying to accomplish, because if he wants to make another run, then they need to make some different moves. The only thing is, Miami always had this family motto: we're family. This is a family. This is a family. Well, they treated the most important person of the family like garbage this past summer, and you cannot have that same motto going into free agency going forward, because all people are going to point to, well, the guy is probably going to have a statue outside of this arena sometime in the future. You guys threw him out to the pasture. So what's really going on here? So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do, but it would not surprise me to see if they move to Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside, the guy, he's interesting. He almost reminds me of Andrew Bynum a little bit. Very talented, not as goofy and as aloof as Bynum is, but very talented. But you need to have a very strong structure around him. When I mean that, a veteran locker room, guys that kind of keep him in check in that regard, so that he doesn't lose focus. Because when he's focused, he's a beast. You can make an argument that he's a top three center in the league. But when he's not focused, you see a lot of free rebound games. You see a lot of just bad play for a guy that should be an all-star.
Well, we're only a month and a half away from the trade deadline. With that being said, who do you expect to be the biggest buyers and sellers? I mean, now that we kind of know, you know, at the beginning of the season, it's fun. First 20 games into the season, it's fun. You know, you have some wacky standings. Now, you know, you're 40 games into the season, you kind of know what teams are made of. You know who's the pretenders. You know who's the contenders. I mean, from my point of view, I think San Antonio has to make a move. I don't think it has to be anything drastic, but I think they have to add a piece. I think the Houston Rockets are a team that could probably, you know, that was a team at the beginning of the year I thought, okay, maybe they're a piece or so away. I would think that they would stay put. Maybe the Clippers are a team that could add a piece. These are some of the contenders. Then you look at the bottom half of the league. I mean, Phoenix obviously should be sellers. Miami, we just talked about. Maybe even Dallas could be sellers. Who are some of the teams that you would expect over the next month, month and a half to really be involved heavily in trade rumors?
Well, thanks for stealing my Phoenix one, because I've been saying for the longest that they need to trade Tyson Chandler, and they may trade him to Golden State. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors need a big that can rim protect and rebound. They don't need a Shaq down there. They don't need that. They just need an improvement at that five spot, and if they can get that improvement without giving up anything significant, I think you could probably give Phoenix a couple of future firsts and Zaza and make some other a couple of wrinkles here and there. And make the deal work. And if you're able to make that work, you got action at, you know, winning a couple of rings here. So I think Phoenix is a seller. I also think Boston's always in the room for a move. They're always right there. Their phones are always on. They have so many assets, so many possibilities. They're not a contender quite yet, but they have the pieces, if need be, to be a contender. And they don't need to really draft any more young guys. Like they have enough young talent. They need to cash something in to get a piece, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do that or not, but they're always at the table. A seller that might happen might be the Knicks. The Knicks have a situation where they have an aging star player in Carmelo Anthony. They can still play. Like, Carmelo can still play. They can still give you 30 any given night and win you a ball game, but with that being said, it's not going to work. It's just not. I think he's worn out his welcome in New York. For whatever reason, it seems like it's just not a good fit anymore. I can see the Knicks moving on from him. If he agrees, I think he has no trade deal, no trade clause, so he obviously has to okay where he goes, but I can see him going elsewhere. Also, that being said, the Knicks might be in a situation where they tank this, you know, kind of just tank this situation, because there's really no benefit for them to, I mean, they don't really have a whole lot else, so I can see them doing that. And when it comes down to it, it would not surprise me, as crazy as this sounds, the Lakers. I can see the Lakers making a move. I really can. They have a lot of young pieces. They have some interesting situations coming up. Julius Randle's the guy they may have to max out this summer. And if they don't want to do that, then the best thing to do is trade him before you have to make that decision.
A lot of interesting storylines right now developing in the NBA. Of course, this time of the year, it's always fascinating stuff. Jameson Welsh joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. We'll do it again next week. Jameson, I really appreciate the time. I know you're all over the country this time of the year covering NBA basketball. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Of course. Always at BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Of course, on air with you. Also, Steve at Fox 1340 AM out here in Vegas on several stations. And also in Nebraska on ESPN, I think it's 1480. So, yeah, just everywhere, going to be heading to a few games shortly, so it's going to be pretty fun. I love this time of the season, so I can't wait to go see a couple of games. I hope to be out in your neck of the woods soon. I got to look at the schedule, but it'd be nice to go to Utah, have some dinner, and go watch a game or two.
No, definitely, definitely. Jameson, look forward to talking with you again. Have a great day.
Not a problem, you too.
We're going to break for just a moment. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.